For our weekly peace segment, we now talk with Medea Benjamin, the longtime peace activist, who, among other things, was a co-founder of Code Bink. Medea, welcome to WOOC.
Hey, Mark. Thanks for having me on.
So we'll start with sort of a little loaded question, but what was your initial reaction to the news that the United States had joined France and Britain in bombing Syria in response to the reports that the Syrian government had recently used chemical weapons?
I think that the suffering of the Syrian people is so tremendous after 7 years and hundreds of thousands killed. But bombing like that is not going to help the Syrian people. I wish we could have a real discussion about the things that we could do as a government to alleviate the suffering and try to come to an end to that 7 years of war. But the kind of response of Donald Trump confuses the issue more, exacerbates the tension between all the different players who were involved, and doesn't bring us any closer to a peace process.
This is JP, a co-host tonight on Hudson Mohawk Magazine. Medea, what do you think the Trump's administration was trying to accomplish with the bombings?
You know, Trump isn't that different from any other president in the sense that when in doubt, bomb, unfortunately, tends to be the reaction. You know, they last year when Trump did the bombing of Syria, he got a lot of kudos from even his opponents and from the media who had been so critical of him, saying, oh, now he looks presidential. I should add that the U.S. has been bombing in Syria for a long time now. The bombing in places like Raqqa against ISIS has done tremendous damage to the civilian population, and there is a several thousand U.S. soldiers who are in Syria, so it's not something brand new, but this is a bombing against the Assad government, and I think it's unfortunate that it has been posed that Donald Trump has to send a lesson to Assad because Assad has been very brutal against the rebels in Syria, but the rebels have also been morphed into a very complicated set of groups, including very extremist organizations, and then you add into that the Russians, the Iranians, the Saudis. So the message Donald Trump said was, we're here, we can bomb you when we want, but it wasn't really a message that was a constructive one of saying, we're going to put our energies now into finding some solution.
Well, that sort of leads to the obvious question. What are there any solutions that make sense at this point for Syria?
Well, first let's take the easy things that aren't solutions but could help alleviate some of the suffering and show that we care about the Syrian people. And it was recently released a number that I myself didn't even know and found just absolutely appalling, which was the number of Syrian refugees that the U.S. has taken in since the fiscal year of October to the present day. And your listeners might have seen this because it's come out a lot in the papers because so many people were shocked to find out. But the number is 11, not 1,100, not 11,000, 11. And that is really just shameful. So the U.S. should be opening our doors to the Syrian people and take in significant numbers of refugees. If you compare the numbers that have been taken in neighboring countries, as well as a place like Germany that took 1 million Syrians in, taking in 11 is really pathetic. And then there's the issue of humanitarian aid. Certainly the U.S. could up the amount of money that we're giving to alleviate the suffering of the Syrian people, so many of whom have been displaced. And so those are, quote, the easier kinds of things. Much harder is an issue about how do you really put pressure on all the parties concerned to get to a peace process. And I don't think the U.S. has been doing that at all. But if we can't do that, I think Trump should go back to his earlier instincts, which is to get out of Syria. We're not doing any good. We're only causing more disruption. And I think we do want to, at some point, say this is an issue that the Syrian people should resolve. We don't want the Russians there, the Iranians there, all these other outsiders. But our presence there is just breaking up the country into more pieces. And I don't think we should be there.
Well, do you think the U.S. has any plans what to do if Syria, should Assad be removed as a political leader?
Not at all. And I have no feelings or misunderstanding that Assad is a good leader. I don't believe in people who have a right to the leadership because their father was there. And then the way that he has reacted to the rebellion that was part of the Arab Spring has been horrendous. But I also have seen what has happened in the rest of the countries in the region and how there is no organized opposition waiting in the wings that could take over from Assad without causing even more of a bloodbath, which is why I say it has to be a political solution. And I think the U.S. military knows well that there is nothing but greater chaos to come out of, quote, taking out Assad. And that's why they didn't want to do anything more than this limited number of strikes. So the U.S. doesn't have any strategy when it comes to how it could replace the government of Assad.
We're talking with Medea Benjamin of Code Pink here on WOOC. So I want to talk to turn to the sort of the broader question of chemical weapons. Allegedly, that, you know, the use of that by the Syrian government was the nominal excuse for the recent attacks. Certainly, there have been prior reports that have claimed that both the Syrian government and, you know, the militias they were fighting may have resorted to chemical weapons at various points. What do we know about the use of chemical weapons as a fact at this point in Syria, and what should we be doing about it?
Honestly, Mark, I don't think we know very much at all. We hear such different versions from so many different groups that there's just tremendous confusion. I think, you know, the international team of experts just arrived in Douma today. Their job is to determine whether chemical weapons were used in the attack. It's now 10 days ago. We hope that there is enough evidence that's still there that they can give a determination of what was used, and then it can be traced more to who has the access to those weapons. I don't, you know what's so confusing? One is, why the hell would Assad do this? There is no reason that is a logical one that he would use chemical weapons. He was in a advantageous position. Donald Trump had just talked about the U.S. withdrawing. Could he be so stupid to, at that particular moment, use chemical weapons? I'm not saying that he's incapable of it from a moral standpoint, because it certainly looks like he has done that before, and we don't have to talk about chemical weapons. We can talk about the destruction in general that the Assad military has caused during the last 7 years, and how many thousands or hundreds of thousands of civilians have been killed. But I just think, from a point of view of a rational strategy, it doesn't make any sense. So I find it all extremely confusing. It's one of those things that maybe we will never know the truth, but I do think our concern should be broader than the chemical weapons. It should recognize that we are talking about death and destruction on such a massive scale that our emphasis should be on how do we start extricating all the different pieces that have that are entangled into it, whether it's the Turks and the Kurds or the proxy war between the Saudis and the Iranians and now the U.S. and Russia. The Syrian people are the victims of not only what was once a civil war, but is what is now an incredible proxy war among so many different parties.
Now, other governments such as Israel and the U.S. have used chemical weapons in the past, and particularly white phosphorus, which is allowed as a military weapon but is not to be used near any civilian targets. Now, in your opinion, has the U.N. done a good job in investigating allegations of the use of chemical weapons?
Not at all. It's a very selective issue. When the Israelis use white phosphorus against the people of Gaza, the U.S. vetoes any accountability by the international institutions. And let's remember that the U.S. Used a tremendous amount of chemical weapons in Vietnam and was certainly never held accountable for that. Unfortunately, the UN institutions or the international institutions are only as strong as the strong powers want them to be. And when it's smaller, weaker governments that are on the spotlight, we can hope to try to get some answers. But when it's the big ones, then we don't get any kind of either investigation or accountability.
So we're out of time. We've been talking to Medea Benjamin-Code-Pink for our weekly Peace segment. Medea, if people want to find out more about what is going on in Syria or to keep up with your own peace activities, what's some of the best ways to do that?
Well, we would love people to help us in general about how do we demilitarize our foreign policy, from trying to stop Pompeo from being elected to supporting the Iran nuclear deal to divesting from the war machine. So please look us up at codepink.org and join our listserv and stay involved. And thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you, Medea, for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you, Medea.
Okay.